Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio. Oopsie. Good morning, Ashwini. We have an echo.
I am attempting to silence it. Well, and I never got to say good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, and you did. You fixed it.
Yes, 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 indeed. All right. Here was our assignment from yesterday. Carpe diem. Seize today and put as little trust as you can in the morrow. The very notion that tomorrow will come is absurd, isn't it? And yet it's such a deeply conditioned belief that there's always tomorrow. There's always plenty of time to love, to live, to relax, to practice, to eat well, or to exercise after we have taken care of all those things we're told have more priority according to the ego taskmaster managing our to-do list. It's always ego's preference to postpone living. Today, trust life and prioritize what conditioning has postponed. Seize the day, for tomorrow may not come.
Gosh, and I'm sure, you know, we all think about this with some regularity, but especially at this time when there's so much going on in the world where it's obvious that large numbers of people wake up in the morning and by the end of the day, that's it. There isn't a tomorrow. And to not take that in as a possibility for ourselves really is falling for a huge ego bamboozle.
Yes, indeed. Shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning. Is this Chris?
Yeah, I forgot that part. Yeah, this is Chris and Ashwini.
Well, fortunately, I recognize your voice after all these years.
Exactly so, yes. Thank you for that reminder. And it's always fascinating to look to see, how with this quote, how conditioning just goes to the first part of that, you know, seize the day. I know that's a popular cultural kind of a thing. And how that so dramatically changes the meaning of the quote. You know, it goes from, you could die at any moment to, prioritize everything on conditioning's to-do list is really where that goes. And, and it reminds me of, there's another expression, which is, I think it's Mother Teresa, but be with God and then do what you want. And again, how conditioning loves to forget the first part of that and just go to the do what you want.
Let's go straight. Yeah.
Right.
Let's do that.
Exactly. And it's always a total disaster. And so yesterday, the way that I was practicing with that was to, as I'm going through the day, just noticing all of the favorite things that I like to do, and so when I eat, where's my favorite place to sit, and favorite kind of foods I like to make, and how I like to make them, just all of these little places of choice where I have a chance to choose what I want in that moment, and favorite things in that way, and then each time, really asking myself that question. So, is this the last time for this? Is this the last time that that I'll hug another person? Is this the last time I'll see a full moon? And like that, and just realizing, like you just said, that who knows, it could be. And so a really good argument for going for presence just as hard as one can.
Yes. And with those examples that you gave, ego wants to come in and say, well, that's morbid. That's just weird to be looking at your favorite things and thinking about maybe this is, what a downer. But it's not. It's exactly the opposite of that, isn't it? It's like, okay, okay, then I don't want to miss a second of this.
Yep. It really does increase presence. And I can look back and see, too, what of some of what of my favorite things were that have dropped away and kind of go, oh, wow, yeah. So for me, some dietary restrictions. And, you know, I can look back and go, well, there was the last time I ate a bagel, which I don't anymore. And, you know, just little things like that. And it's easy to extrapolate and go, well, yeah, every one of those favorite things sooner or later is going to drop away. And so it's time to really enjoy. And,
And practice, when you said that, for me, it's practice having new favorite things.
Yeah.
So that whatever is in this moment, right? So I don't eat bagels any longer. So, okay, well, all right. Life just gets smaller and smaller with every passing day. No. Okay, so what do I love to eat now? What's my favorite now?
Yeah.
Always looking toward, well, actually, this is my favorite moment.
Exactly.
This is the best day ever. That's the most beautiful moon I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So like with choosing a place to eat, and I do have my favorite spots, but every day, it's a nice day, it might be outside at a particular chair looking in a particular direction. So like you say, a new favorite, and they're all grand.
Yeah, it's kind of looking at everything with, what do I love best about this?
Yeah, well,
what's the best part of this?
Yeah, because that takes that morbid interpretation that conditioning might make to it. Yeah, takes it out of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God knows conditioning is morbid.
That's true. Yeah,
it is.
It'll go there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, with any and everything, even the full moon. Well, you know, it's not as beautiful as that one over the ocean. That it's like, oh God, yeah. Let's be here for this one.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Chris.
Very good. Oh yeah, you bet. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Bye bye. Thanks, Chris. Another thing that really stood out for me in that conversation is how much we're conditioned to believe that looking at something as the last time is a morbid, as if it was the last occasion for us to have it is morbid, because it really enhances the ability to be present to it and enjoy it wholeheartedly. That's the aspect that is not allowed into awareness.
Yes, and that's why the morbid story, what I think you're pointing at with this is that allowing conditioning to do that to us is what does make it morbid. That it's conditioning's. It's looking to conditioning for its opinion. We did a lot on opinions recently. That does make it morbid. Does take it out of the realm of, wow, this is the last time. How extraordinary. Yeah. It's the strawberry. It makes it the strawberry, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, and the thing is, it's a distortion. Like conditioning is always a distortion of accepting what is so. It is so.
Yes.
It could be the last time.
Yes.
Opening to the wonder of that, right? that's very true. Life is the here, this moment, gone the next moment. This is the in-breath, this is the out-breath. And life does cease as life does flourish. And so, wow, what a different orientation.
Moment. Yeah, moment by moment by moment. That's the magic and wonder that's possible for us, right? To be right there in that moment dying, moment being born.
Yes. The abstraction that it's forever is what prevents us from living in the now, and that's the bamboozle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Sherry. This is Claire.
Well, hello, Claire.
So here I am, seizing the moment and calling into the show. So that's great.
Very good. In the queue and on the air.
And a couple of things. I was when I hear the phrase, you know, seize the moment, sometimes what comes to conditioned mind is the act of kind of like grabbing for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that the moment is here. I don't have to seize for it. I just have to open my arms. I don't have to grab for it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes, to accept it wholeheartedly.
Indeed. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where, yeah. And then it's also kind of helpful to look at, you know, what those things that conditioning tries to convince me not to do that I do want to do, and then to, like, return to the energy of the desire of the heart to do those things.
Uh-huh.
So that's different from teaching.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, you pointed an interesting place. Because it's we're so conditioned to think the moment is other than we are.
Hmm.
Right? And it feels that way if I'm identified with ego, then it feels like the moment is something out there that I have to do something to be in relationship with. So I have to grab it and, you know, that sort of thing. But as you're indicating, when I'm not identified with ego, then there is it's almost like being swallowed up by the moment or disappearing into the moment or becoming completely one with the moment.
Yeah, there's no efforting. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, it's a letting go, isn't it?
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. And one last thing. I just have to put a plug in for, say that word morbid. I just looked at the meaning of it, which is one of the meanings of that. It's an unhealthy interest in disturbing and unpleasant subjects, especially death and disease. And it's so funny because when I hear that, it's kind of, it makes me sad in a way because there's a beauty in death and a beauty in the acknowledgement that all that we have is this moment that makes this moment so rich.
And again, to me, what you're pointing at is the difference between presence and identified with ego. So ego, you know, I was looking at something recently, and there were all of these, somebody was talking about all the movies that are out, you know, just given the names of the movies and that sort of thing. And most of them are horror movies, right? Mm-hmm. Movies are death and destruction and horror, right? I mean, not all of them, obviously, but a large percentage of them. And I project that that's because ego has this morbid, this sick fascination with, okay, and because it's such a subterranean way of torturing human beings, just feeds all of the fears that ego is wanting fed, right? Mm-hmm. And so it becomes entertainment, but there is an unhealthy quality to it, right? Whereas, as you say, from center, there's a celebration of life and a celebration of the form of life that we call death.
Yes, yes, yes. And we all know that we're going to die, so sometimes I think the ego loves to kind of put fear and angst and something wrong around death.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. My teacher used to say this funny thing about, you know, nobody wants to die, But if you think it, but we're happy that other people die. Because if nothing ever died, we'd be up to our eyebrows in gnats. Right? So it's not that, you know, if we don't have a problem with death. We're perfectly happy that everything dies except us. That's the big mistake, or anybody we care about. That's the one that we don't want. And, it's such a misunderstanding of the larger picture.
And that sort of epitomizes egocentric karmic conditioning that, you know, it's okay if death happens to anything or anyone else, but not to me.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Claire. You know, Sherry, I was walking back from meditation this morning up the path from the monastery, and there are all these gorgeous, strong pine trees that we lost to the beetles. And side by side, these gorgeous, healthy, towering, strong pine trees that are alive and open to the sky. And, you know, every time I walk in nature, that place that you were talking about with Claire comes up, right? It is not outside of life. It is part of it. Death is part of living. That they are not separate. They're a continuum. And just to acknowledge that, it's not that morbidness that you were talking about that ego uses as a perspective is a separation of what is so. It's a division rather than our ability to be present to it's living also. It's life also.
Yes. Well, and the word that you just used that is the essential, we're moving from ego's duality to the continuum that is life, right? What we call life and death is a continuum. It's not, they're not opposites.
Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from San Francisco.
Hello, yes, Carol.
Hi. Oh, what a great set of conversations so far. Well, I had the experience of deciding I want to be in the day. So it required sort of a stubbornness to do it, to be here and now. I had to be stubborn about it. Like, this is what's happening today. Because it's
determined,
just if I
committed.
Don't. Yes. It seems like life just races by too quickly otherwise. And, yeah. So it was thinking, no thinking. No. Today, no thinking, no, you know, judgments, thoughts about everything. And I don't know why, but it was possible to do it for a lot of the day.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was grace or what.
I think you've said something important for all of us. So you were committed, you were determined, you were, we could say, stubborn about this. Nope. We're going to be thinking, no thinking, and you were able to do it.
Yeah.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge to be able to be present. That's huge.
Well, and to know that you can determine to do so. It's back to Gary Zukav, okay? You make that commitment, and the whole universe gets behind you. Now, you may have made that commitment before, and it in quotes didn't work. Okay, but what happened is, I would project, you made the commitment, and then ego, karmic conditioning, self-hate came up and said, that's not going to happen, Carol, and you caved. But this time, you went into it with a level of commitment and determination that ego didn't stand a chance against. And so here comes everything to support you in that, and you have the experience.
Wow, that's awesome because, first I read the quote and I thought, well, that probably means, like hang gliding or doing these exciting things, which I've done exciting things before and not been fully present during them. But it was very exciting to be in the moment. I had a client to see yesterday that I dread seeing. He's a bully, let's put it that way. And I just chose, I made my intent. I'm going to be present. And it went so differently yesterday. We kind of addressed. Yeah, we addressed what the issue was, not what all the ego drama was. And it was really different to do that and to be there. And part of me says, good luck on ever getting there again. But I like what you said, and I'm going to listen to that over,
And will ego come in and try to deter you next time? You better believe it. You can know it. But we just keep coming back. It's like a determination to be present in meditation. Does the ego try to jerk you away from that in every way it can? Yes. And so what do we do? Most people go, I can't do it, and they give up. But those of us who are sticking, we just go, okay, good. Go ahead. Before it's over, give me everything you've got. I want to see it all, and my commitment is to stay here. Keep coming back. Just here now.
Well, and because the story is that it's scary in the present, or there's something really bad about the present, and it's going to be boring.
Yes, for ego, there is.
I looked around.
It's all of that.
It's like you look around, and there wasn't any fear. In fact, it was just all those words you said earlier to an earlier caller. It was spacious, it was safe, and there was nothing wrong, and the day was going nice and slow, like in a good way.
Yes.
So there was plenty of day.
That's magic. Okay, so when we are trying to be outside of life, when we're identified with ego, ego wants to be outside of life. So life moves very, very, very fast for ego because it's trying to keep up so that it can be there to run its number on whatever is happening, right? But when you're identified, in quotes, when you're in life, then you're traveling at the speed of life. And so things are very, very spacious. There's plenty of time. And as you said with your client, you're not attending to the story about who he is and what this is going to be like and what it means. And so you're just there with this other human being. And it's fine.
Yeah. Yes. Very exciting. And my recording last night was, I want to be in the day every day.
Yes.
I want to see it every day.
Yeah, and maybe for a little while make that listen every morning or listen every night and every morning recording, because, again, ego is going to try to get you distracted, focus on something else that's really important or that catches your fancy or whatever it is, and you're going to forget about this. Forget that you learned a process. You've seen how it works.
Right.
And you want to practice it.
That's right. Excellent. I'm excited.
All right. Yes. All right. It's very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Carol. Sure. I'm going to try to see if I can bring a few more callers in.
All right.
A queue.
Ambitious.
I know.
Hello?
We have. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we have locked in the queue. Yes, hello. Who's this?
This is Brad in Maryland. How you doing?
Hey, Brad.
If it's too noisy, let me know. I'm actually out walking, and I didn't think I was going to get through. So.
No, it's not. We hear you and no noise. It's fine.
Okay, great. One of the things that's so appealing to me about Zen is the fact that it's not necessarily about standards or morality as much as it is for myself not taking a moment for granted. And that is certainly what yesterday's assignment points to for me. You know, it's not really important what we believe down the road or how things should be as much as it is being present to what is and being grateful in that.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And, oh, gosh, yes. It's such a subtle point that you bring up, because we could say that when you're present, when we're present, we are moral. But moral is a moving target, right? you know, what is setting the standards for morality? That's changed. That changes from person to person. That changes from belief system to belief system culturally over throughout time. But when we are present with life, we will be living the life of that moment fully. Did I lose you, Brad?
Sherry, I think the computer is kind of doing its own thing, because I think Brad dropped off the queue, and I apparently unmuted three people at the same time. So,
oh, good. Well, how exciting. Shall we get the second one?
I think Brad is no longer in the queue, and I think next caller, would you please introduce yourself?
Either caller two or three.
Yes, let's caller two or three. Hello?
Who's there?
Hey, this is Ellie.
Hey, Ellie. You're caller two. Howdy, howdy.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry.
Hey.
Wow, that was unexpected.
What are you seeing now that you're unmuted?
Yeah. What I saw yesterday was just how, like, there's so much practice and it's buffering my life and keeps, like, it's sees the day. But I loved what you said yesterday, you know, that it's a process, you know, put as little trust as I can in the morrow. And I just really felt that, you know, there's a lot of commitments that are bringing me back to the moment, and then I step away, and then I come back, and I just keep coming back, and that commitment is really strong.
Yes, 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 which takes us to Brad's no standards, right? Because as soon as we get into standards, we know ego is the one doing the talking.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was coming find you were talking to another caller about, and the idea of looking at the moon came up, and there was just this thing of like beginner's mind, and you know that this might be the last time, and kind of coming to every moment as if it's like the first and the last.
Which it and, is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which it is. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. It's not just the last time. It's the first time as well.
Yeah, because it's completely different each time I come to the moment. Mm-hmm. And and there's also this sense in which I just like kind of flashed through of like all of those moments of experiencing the moon, like I don't know, something about that was really touching to me. I just like went right there of like, it's always the first, it's always the last, but there's also this sense of the eternal now.
Yes.
It's all present right there.
And yes. Oh, that's beautiful, Ellie. And that's what we get to receive in presence, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so easy to miss.
It is so easy to miss. We have so much conditioning that says, oh, go ahead, miss it. There'll be another moment. There'll be another moon. Right now, you have to think about work tomorrow and what you didn't get done today and how, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just
right.
really enjoying
well, thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ellie. Oh, that was just so so poignant that the eternal
mm-hmm.
now contains the new, the never again, and all of it from eternity.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had a sense with that of it's also everyone who has ever had the experience. Everyone who's
mm-hmm.
ever, you know what I mean? Everyone who's
oh,
ever
yeah.
loved the full moon. Everyone who's ever been anywhere, any place, it's throughout time. It's cold chill.
Well, yes. Sherry, we're at the end of the show, but I found Brad in the queue again. Would you like to finish the conversation, or can we just say?
Well, let's
we'll
ask Brad.
Let's ask Brad
if we're at a good place and we can talk the next time, or... if there's more on this one.
You know what? Let's talk the next time.
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
You're doing good. You're out there enjoying the day.
I am. Yeah, no problem. Okay?
Okay.
You guys have
Thanks,
a wonderful
Fred.
Day. Take care.
Thanks, Fred.
Right.
I think the computer decided to seize the day, Sherry, and unmute a whole bunch of callers.
Seize the callers.
All right, so here's our assignment for today. To describe myself in a scientific way, I must also describe my surroundings, which is a clumsy way of getting around to the realization that you're the entire universe. It's so obvious when we drop our habitual way of seeing that our sense of being discrete and separate is simply an optical delusion, a product of how we see rather than how it is. It blows the mind, literally, to contemplate the notion that we're just the local experience of a vast, undifferentiated intelligence that has the ability to take expression in unique form. Today, drop your habitual way of seeing separation and focus on realizing how the entire universe is you and you are the entire universe. Record and listen.
Mm. Wow. More chills.
Yes, it's not a small task.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And we'll see everyone on Monday.
Is today Friday? Oh,
yes,
how fun. Oh, how lovely. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, go happy. Treasure yourselves. Seize the day. All those good things.
Okay, and see yourself as the universe.
Yes.
Thank you,
Sherry. Thank you.